Thank you, Vita. Well, as we've moved through our service, we've watched videos about light and we've heard testimony about God's light coming into Janet's life that drizzly dark day. And we've lit our candles, which are shining in the darkness. They look fantastic, by the way. We're going to look now in more detail about the great light which has come into the darkness. It's a dark time of year, isn't it? It can be gloomy with the short days and the long nights, and it can feel oppressive sometimes. But it's not just the physical darkness that can get to us. Russia's aggression, China's oppression, people too poor to turn on their heating, the mental health crisis, particularly amongst the young, the so-called loneliness pandemic, global warming, and so on. These things can really get to us. And we can feel that we're walking in a time of darkness. What I want to do now is see how the light has come into the darkness. And we can have our own personal darkness as well. Janet testified to that. We can really feel that we're going through dark times, and I want us to discover how the light of the world can come internally into us and help us. And this is the message of Christmas. Don't despair, because light has come. We read about it in our first reading in verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. This is the good news of Christmas. This is why we gathered here to have our carol service, to celebrate this. Light has dawned. Light has come into the world. It's not just any old light, but it's a great light. Back then, they were in a time of extreme darkness, really. Zebulun and Naphtali were the northernmost regions of Israel, and they had been invaded by the Assyrian Empire. It was a time of darkness, but they, although they were the first to be invaded, the invasion spread south, they would be the first to experience this great light. And what is this light? It's a baby, born quietly, without fanfare, in a small town, to a teenage girl. Jesus is the great light that's come into the world. His birth is the divine light from heaven, dawning. The light of God's love had come in that quiet way, that such a momentous thing had come into the world. And light coming into darkness is a very strong theme which repeats itself throughout the Christmas story. I don't know whether you noticed it in our readings. In Matthew 2, the light of the star points the way to Jesus and brings joy. In, bear with me, the next one. Luke 1, Zechariah prophesies about Jesus, calling him the rising sun, which would shine on those living in darkness and shadow. In Luke 2, 8 to 11, the shepherds were in the darkness, but then, with the announcement of Jesus' birth, light and joy and glory came. In Luke 2, 9 to 32, we see some more light. And just going to have to go here because my phone's not working. Simeon pronounces Jesus to be God's salvation and a light that has come into the world to be revealed to the Gentiles. By saying the Gentiles means the whole world, all of the world is going to see this light. In his gospel, John repeatedly introduces Jesus as the light. Later on, he gives Jesus two additional light titles, light of the world and bright morning star. But how is Jesus the great light? What kind of light does he give to us? How can just a helpless baby be the great light that's come into the world to dispel all of the darkness? How can he help us? Well, verse 6 of Isaiah 9 tells us, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And these four titles explain to us how Jesus is the great light. So let's think about them now. First of all, because Jesus is Mighty God, he brings the light of salvation. Have you ever needed saving? Have you ever needed rescuing? I don't know whether you read round about a week ago that tragic story of those children in the Birmingham area who died in that icy lake tragedy. Attempts were made to rescue them. Sadly, those attempts failed. They lost their lives. It was awful, wasn't it? We all need saving, rescuing, not from icy water. We need rescuing because of the darkness of our sin. Because we've all sinned. We've all done things which are wrong. Wrongdoing is a symptom of sin. The root of sin, the essence of sin, is rebellion against God. We rebel against him in different ways, by rejecting him, by ignoring him, by politely holding him at arm's length, saying, "No thanks God, I don't want anything to do with you, don't come into my life." Or we live with him not as ruler, not as king of our lives. That's how we rebel against God. And that rebellion brings his judgment. The judgment of being banished from his presence forever after we die, in a place the Bible calls outer darkness, a place without joy, without hope, without happiness. How can we be saved and rescued from such a place? Well, we can't save ourselves. We can't backtrack and undo all of our sin. We can't suddenly become pure. No one else can save us. Growing up with Christian parents can't save us. Growing up in a Christian culture or Christian country or going to church can't save us. Being baptized, having communion, praying and so on doesn't save us. Nor can being good, trying our best. These things can't save us from the condemnation that's ours because of our rebellion against God. The only one who can save us is God. And Jesus is God, not God the Father, but God the Son. And by his mighty divine power and love, he came from heaven to earth and went from the manger to the cross to save us. Jesus, Mighty God, sinless, flawless, pure, perfect. He took our place on the cross. He took the punishment we deserve because he loves us so much. It's the amazing news of Christmas, why Jesus was born into the world. The light of the world allowed himself to be enveloped in darkness on the cross. The darkness of God's judgment. We see this in Luke chapter 23. It was about noon and darkness came over the whole land. This is when Jesus was being crucified. Came over the land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun stopped shining. This darkness over the whole land was a sign of God's judgment against sin. God can't just ignore sin. Can't just pretend it doesn't exist. Can't just sweep it under the carpet of the universe. He has to respond because he's a God of justice. And he responds in judgment. But that judgment fell on Jesus at the cross, not on the ones who deserved it. not on people like me, people like you. And the Bible says, the Bible promises that when we believe that Jesus did this for us, then we're saved. We're rescued from eternal judgment and condemnation. Our sin means that we deserve to be condemned, but his love means that we can be rescued. His mighty power means that he is able to rescue us by dying on the cross. He takes away the darkness of our shame, of our guilt, of our disgrace, of our impurity, of our rebellion. The dark stain of sin is removed by God's light. And he offers you salvation this Christmas. It's what he came into the world to do. The name Jesus means the one who saved. It was his mission. He came to save you, and he can because he is mighty God. Will you come into the light of salvation that he offers? It's free. You don't have to earn it. All you have to do is accept it, just like you would any gift at Christmas time. Will you accept Jesus' salvation by believing in him for yourself? Well, Jesus doesn't just offer the light of salvation, there's more. He also brings the light of peace. We long for peace, don't we? We long for peace in Ukraine. We long for peace in our heads. We long for peace when we've fallen out with someone. We long for peace between family members who are arguing and feuding. Jesus came to bring us peace, and he gives us peace in four ways. First of all, peace between us and God. By dying on the cross, he takes away God's anger and enmity against us and against our sin. And then he changes us so that we no longer live in rebellion against God. So there's peace between us and God. We count God as our friend, our father, not that angry person. We don't like him very much. There's peace. Jesus also gives us internal peace, his shalom, his well-being, his calm. As one Bible teacher puts it, an end to the anxious soundtrack of thoughts that play in our mind like a record on repeat. And thirdly, Jesus gives us peace with others. He changes us, he teaches us so that we learn how to forgive, how to reconcile, how to say sorry, how not to react or explode. And then fourth, he gives us peace forever in the future. I read recently that there hasn't been a Christmas day in this century or the last in which there has been peace around the world. So sad, isn't it? But God promises total world peace one day in the future. A final end to all war and all conflict is coming. These are the lights of peace that Jesus brings. Do you need peace? Do you want peace? Come to Jesus and experience the peace that he offers now and also in the future. Thirdly, Jesus is the great light because he gives us the light of counsel. Life is hard, isn't it? Life is confusing. We often don't know what to do. We have bad days, as Janet was sharing with us. Jesus comes alongside us and helps us by giving us his counsel. And Jesus is the best counselor because he made us and he made our world. So he understands us best. He understands our world better than anyone. And also he's the best counselor because he cares for us most. He loves us most. Through the Bible, through the Holy Spirit, through Christians, through random trumpeters on the street on a drizzly morning, he comes to us. He counsels us. That means he guides us. He walks alongside us. He helps us. He comforts us. He shows us what to do. He leads us into his truth and into his light. It's not all rosy, as Janet said, but during those dark times, he gives us light inside us. He whispers to us, I'm there, I'm with you. I know what you're going through. He gives us that kind of counsel. And then fourth, because Jesus is the everlasting Father, he gives us the light of eternity. Everlasting Father is literally the Father of eternity. It's important at this point we don't become confused with God the Father and God the Son. Father here means originator or source. So if you want anything eternal, you must get it from Jesus. If you want eternal life, you can only get it from Jesus. Jesus is the great light, because he gives the light of salvation, of peace, of counsel, and of eternity. The question is, will you step into that great light this Christmas time? Will you turn away from the darkness of your sin and your rebellion and accept Jesus, the light of the world? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The kind of life that we're talking about, those different aspects, peace, counsel, and so on. Will you step into the light? You know, you can do that right now. You can start to follow Jesus right now if you haven't already done so. What's stopping you? All you have to do is say to God, honestly and from your heart, I've sinned, I've rebelled, I need saving. I accept Jesus as my saviour. I trust in him. I believe that he took my punishment. I'm going to follow the light of the world from this point on and turn away from darkness. Do it right now. Maybe you'd like to follow Jesus, but you want some more information. And we hope to run in the new year an alpha course. Just goes through who Jesus is, what Christianity is all about. Welcome to join that to find out more about what it means to follow Jesus. Do come and chat to me afterwards if you'd like to be part of that. Or maybe you're thinking, I want to find out more now. I don't want to wait till the new year and an alpha course. If that's you, we've got some books that we'd like to give away for free. I recommend these two books, The Ultimate Christmas Wish List and Searching for Christmas. Both of them are based on Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the passage that we've considered, and they go deeper into the God behind Christmas. They are here on this table at the front on my right. They're free. They are our gift to you. Please take one for yourself or take one and give it away to someone who you think might benefit from it. But maybe you're sitting here this evening and you're feeling sceptical. Maybe you're thinking, Jesus, light of the world, born of a virgin, son of God, really? How can you believe those things? If that's you, then please take one of these two books or take both of them. They take a serious look at the evidence and the reliability and the truth of the Christmas story, of the story of Jesus in the Bible. Really, really helpful books. Again, they're free. They're down here on the table. Please take one before you go. All of the books are short and readable. Make sure you do avail yourself of one. Well, I've finished and I'd like to say to you, thank you for listening.